Now, last Sunday, we started the first of three Sundays in our little mini-series called Love Yourself. Now, as I said last week, it isn't some kind of spiritual navel-gazing, a self-idolatry exercise, but rather looking at three topics that help us see ourselves as God sees us, helping you see who you are in Christ. And again, just a recap on what those three identity declarations were about who we are in Christ. That I am forgiven, I am loved, and I am called. This series is about us defining who we are in Christ, rather than those other things that perhaps in our lives, you know, they come and go, they change due to circumstances or stage of life. But instead of being defined by those things, it's about knowing who we are in Christ that is the anchor point that holds us tight in this life. The great unchangeable I am that enables us to say with absolute certainty and confidence that this is who I am in Christ. Where I get my true identity and value and worth and purpose from. So last week we looked at what it means to be forgiven, and this week the topic we're exploring is I am loved. Now, as I said last week, there isn't a specific set of home group notes or Bible study notes to accompany this series, but we do have this set of 30 I am statements, scripture verses for you to take home that really helps us dig deeper into knowing who we are in Christ. And the idea is that you kind of take them home, you read them, you pray over them, you reflect on them, you proclaim them over yourself and over the situations you're in at the moment. So hopefully you've all been emailed them. If you don't have email or you haven't received it, there are some copies out of the foyer on the right, on the little seat there, if you want to take them home with you. So our reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 3. Does anybody want to read that for us? I've got it here on a sheet if you want to read it. I know that's kind of putting you on the spot. I place a different voice. Hey, Tony, thank you very much. Come up and read it for us. Thank you.
It's in English.
It is in English. And it's on the screen for us as well. Thank you, Tony.
So, Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Thank you, Tony. Now, when I was reading and researching in preparation for this message today, I came across a story of when Charles Spurgeon, great Baptist preacher and minister, preached on this very passage at the Metropolitan Tabernacle Church in London on the 11th of June, 1876. Were you there, Tony? Was that a good one for that one? Was it?
I was busy that day.
You were a bit busy that day. Okay. Well, the account goes that after he read those very same verses from Ephesians that we've just heard Tony read to us, Spurgeon followed them up with these words. I mean, that is the Metropolitan Tabernacle Church. I mean, that is pretty something, isn't it? Actually, imagine the queue for tea and coffee at the end of the service after that. So this is what he said. He said, "This morning, in trying to preach from the text, I will pray the Holy Spirit that every person here may first feel it. It is wonderful, the difference between a text read and heard and a text felt within the soul. Oh, that you this morning may be able to say from your heart, because you cannot help saying it, I am loved by Christ. It is beyond measure beneficial to the soul to take its fill of the love of the Lord Jesus. It is the sweet cure for our ailments, for us to have leisure to delight ourselves in the love of Christ, and faith enough to dwell at ease in its perfection. If I were to say no more, but sit down in silence, and if you were all to spend the next 3/4 of an hour in contemplating the love of Christ for you, it would be time most profitably spent. Be sure then, let your hearts have room, scope and opportunity for indulging and inflaming the sacred passion of Christ's love for you. And then he sat down and he gave his congregation 45 minutes to do just that. Spurgeon, referred to as the Prince of Preachers, who began his ministry not far from here, actually, at Waterbeach Baptist Church. He was regarded as the greatest preacher of the Victorian era, the one who people would come from all over the country to hear preach. I mean, see how packed the church is. The one who people would write letters to from all over the world, and they would write on those letters to the preacher, London, and they ended up at Spurgeon's desk. He felt that simply sharing these amazing words of scripture that speak deep into the very core of who we are, our identity, our value, our worth as sons and daughters of God. This glorious truth that reveals to us the width and length and height and depth of his love for us in Christ Jesus, which causes us to be rooted and established in that same love. Just reading out these verses and not preaching one of his world famous sermons that everyone had become to hear, but instead giving them that same 45 minutes that he would have been preaching. Yes, 45 minutes. You don't have anything to complain here, folks, about. But giving the congregation those 45 minutes to just sit in silence and let that life-shattering impact and significance of this eternal truth of Christ's love for us to sink deep into every fibre of our being. That this would be, as he put it, time profitably spent. I love that phrase. Well, I'm not Charles Spurgeon, and I don't really have the courage to do that this morning. But what I am going to do is I'm going to offer just a few brief thoughts and then allow a longer time after my message for us, through sung worship, through us waiting on the Lord, to just reflect on the significance of Christ's love for us. To speak over yourself and one another, probably the most powerful truth that has ever been revealed to mankind. That you are loved by God. That in Christ, you are loved. Claire, you are loved by God. Joy, you are loved by God. Bill, you are loved by God. Mary, you are loved by God. Sue, you are loved by God. And Jackie, you are loved by God. I'm not just picking those names out. I asked the Lord, I was praying this morning as people were coming, Lord, who really needs to hear that this morning? I know we all need to hear that. You know, it's a truth for all of us. But I felt God particularly wanted you to hear those words, that you are deeply and unconditionally loved by God. Yesterday at the EBA gathering, I was speaking to a minister from another Baptist church, and they were having a little sneaky peek of my new office and coveting it in the name of the Lord. And she noticed that I had that very sheet that I just advertised a moment ago of the 30 I am verses of scripture about knowing who we are in Christ. And this minister, she remarked on how she was doing a discipleship course with her home group in her church called Freedom in Christ. It's a course all about how we can be free from those issues and obstacles that prevent us from accepting who we are in Christ. That true identity and value and worth and purpose being who we are in Christ. And she told me how she'd been recently having one of the sessions in her home group about the love of Christ. And she was sharing with her group about how they were all deeply loved by Christ. And she was reading out some scripture verses that that emphasized that, that spoke about Christ's love for us. And then one lady in her home group, who was in her 60s, she'd been a Christian most of her life, she piped up saying, "Yes, I know Jesus loves people, but he doesn't love me like that." And the minister said she was really taken aback. She was said, "You know, what do you mean? Of course you are loved like that, you know, by Christ." And the lady replied again, "No, he doesn't. I don't think he does, really. I mean, I know that's what the Bible says, and I kind of know it in my head, but in my heart, and in me impacting how I feel about myself, I just don't feel that Jesus loves me unconditionally and with such great depth." And I was thinking about that last night and overnight, and it really got me thinking. I wonder how many people come to church here, Sunday after Sunday, people who sing the hymns and these great choruses, who listen to prayers, who take on board, you know, the sermons that we give week after week, people who most likely serve on four different rotas in the ministries of the church, people who are absolutely nailed on dead certain Christians, and yet they leave this building each week. They finish a time of fellowship with their brothers and sisters here, and they walk home and they get on with their lives, you know, week after week, not truly knowing in the deepest part of their knower that they are truly and deeply loved by God. You know, that genuinely makes me sad. I was reflecting on this last night, and I started to get quite upset to think that there may be here, people here at Plantation Baptist Church that that is true for. People maybe right now in this room who feel like this. And if that is you, then I am sorry that we have failed you as a church. If you don't know that you are deeply and unconditionally loved by God. Now I realise that for some people, that the reason why maybe you don't feel that you are truly loved and deeply loved by God is perhaps because of things that has happened to you in your life. Maybe the way you were treated and brought up as a child. Maybe it was been deeply wounding and hurtful things that people have said to you throughout your life. Maybe perhaps you've been badly let down or betrayed or abandoned by someone you loved or someone who was close to you. Maybe it's some other kind of event or experience or circumstance in your life that has created this barrier or obstacle, like some kind of invisible force field around you that prevents you from truly accepting and believing that you are loved by God. Now, while all of these things might be a reality, they might be your reality, the experiences and events of your life that have shaped and scarred you maybe in the person you are today, things that dictate the way you respond when you are presented with Christ's deep and unconditional love for you, thinking it's true for everyone else but not for you. But the truth of God's word that goes deeper and greater than any truth in the entire universe, even the truth we create for ourselves to protect us from further hurt and pain. The truth of God's word speaks into those events and experiences and thoughts and feelings and safety mechanisms. And the truth of God's word says Christ dwells in your hearts through faith. It says you can be strengthened with power in your inner being by the Holy Spirit, so that you can be rooted and established in Christ's love for you. That you can grasp, you can know in the deepest, innermost part of who you are, the width of Christ's love for you. The length of Christ's love for you. The depth of Christ's love for you. The height of Christ's love for you. And that Christ's love surpasses knowledge. In other words, it's not merely about an intellectual assent of his love for you, but that sense of being deeply filled to a measure and even an over, a sense of overflowing of the fullness of God's love of who you are in Christ Jesus. That is the truth. As Jesus himself said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Set you free from those past hurts and experiences that have shaped who you are. Now, virtually everybody here over the years, I've been here a long time, have heard my testimony about my childhood, about how I was neglected and badly treated, and how the culmination of those events and experiences created a teenage Tim Williamson that thought there must be something wrong with him. I must be unlovable because nearly everyone I loved and cared about didn't seem to love and care about me in return. You've heard those stories and events, how, you know, my mother neglected me, my stepfather emotionally and psychologically abused me, my real father abandoned me. And the net result of that was that in order to protect myself from, you know, the pain and hurt in my life, I built this protective, impenetrable shell around me. And I said, you know, to myself, don't let anyone in. That way you can't feel hurt or abandoned or neglected anymore. Don't feel loved and valued. And that way you're going to be okay. And it was a very effective protection and coping strategy. But the issue was, as human beings, we're not created to live and exist like that. We've been created to live with this sense of being able to receive love from others and demonstrate love for others. And while God loved me enough to accept me like that, he loved me too much to let me remain like that. So when I gave myself to Christ, that protective eggshell that I'd effectively created and been living in most of my life up to that point, it began to kind of crack and bits of the eggshell fall off. And at first there was this sense of panic within me. Oh no, what if I get hurt and wounded? And I must pick up those bits and kind of glue them back together. I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, it's okay, Tim. It's okay. Now that you have Christ, you don't need that protective shell anymore. Christ is now your protection. And the thing is, if you glue that eggshell bits back together, how will I be able to pour my love into those deep wounds and broken ways of thinking and feeling about yourself? How are you going to become rooted and established in my love for you? That deep and wide and high and long love that surpasses everything else. It's only as I pour my love into your life that you will truly know who you are in Christ. That you will fully understand your true worth and value and identity and purpose. This morning I believe that God will want to speak into each and every heart here and say, as the prophet Jeremiah says, I love you with an everlasting love. I will draw you towards me with loving kindness. Or as the prophet Hosea put it, I draw you to me with affection and love. I pick you up and I hold you to my cheek. I bend down to you and I feed you in love. In Christ, I chose you for my love and I love you for my choice. St. Augustine said, if God loves each of you as if there were only one of you to love. You know, if God had a fridge, your picture would be on it. If he had a mobile phone, your photo would be the background image. If he had social media, your photo would be his profile picture. You know, he sends you flowers every morning and flowers every spring and sunshine every morning. When you talk, he wants to listen. God can live anywhere in the universe, and yet he chooses to live in your heart and life. It's these eternal truths of the vastness of God's love that anchors you in him. It's who you are in Christ that is the foundation of which you can build your life upon. The soil in which your life becomes rooted and established. You know, I love that old hymn that goes, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. That's what we were talking about last week when we talked about being forgiven, wasn't it? How marvellous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. For God so loves you. His love for you is good. His love for you is eternal. His faithfulness towards you will last forever. His banner over you is love. Nothing can separate you from God's love, from knowing who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are love.